My name is James Mahon. I'm 25 years of age. I'm an anchor reporter and a host for CBS WPEF News 12 in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We cover East Tennessee, North Georgia, Alabama, and North Carolina, hit about 600,000 homes. And we've made international headlines, our coverage has in recent days, for a domestic terror act.
And of course you were in the middle of that, and we'll come back to that in a little while. Your own roots are very much Irish. There's an Irish still in your voice. You're only fresh into the US. Tell me the background to all of that.
Well, I grew up, I was born in Romania in Eastern Europe after the fall of communism in 1990. Adopted when I was a few days old by two incredible people called Oliver and Peggy Mahon from her homeland Woodford, and along with my sister. And we grew up in Cork, County Galway, and a little bit in Dublin. And I went to NUI Galway and went to a small elementary school or primary school of less than 50 students, small high school, secondary school, less than 750. And then did two degrees at NUI Galway, did a diploma in Irish, I've always been an Irish speaker, and did an English and classical history degree, followed by a master's in broadcast journalism at the University of Sheffield and BBC Yorkshire.
My goodness, you've got quite a background there. Speaking Irish, do you speak Romanian? Now, I know it's a churlish question to ask, but have you any connection back with Romania?
I have zero connection to Romania. I was given the opportunity to go there in 2012 with the reality TV crew to go back and rediscover my roots, etc., but I did not choose to do that. So I actually know nothing, I know very little about Romania. I'm literally born Irish in a different country. And Irish is pretty much my first language, followed by English and Spanish.
So the question of nature and nurture is one that you would be fit to answer, I'm sure.
I think so, yeah. So it's like with Munster rugby, you're Irish by birth, but you're Munster by the grace of God. I think mine is something similar. I'm very fortunate to be. I don't look a whole lot different to what people expect Irish people to be. I'm a little bit darker, but I just think I'm black Irish.
And of course, you've been in the sun a lot longer, Chattanooga and whatever. It's quite sunny, that's for sure. So your own roots back in Ireland, there's no point in asking you, have you strong memories of them? Because you're only recently here. How long have you been in the States?
It'll be 3 years come October. I came to Knoxville, Tennessee, and was an intern at East Tennessee PBS. They're kind of some producing, some behind-the-scenes stuff. And then I applied to 180 television stations in 12 states. Over the course of October, November, December of 2012, and eventually Chattanooga picked me up and they said you're going to be a general assignment reporter and you're going to host a TV series called Through Irish Eyes, which we did 18 episodes for across 3 seasons, which won a bunch of awards, fortunately, highlighting the positive aspects of Southern life, rodeos, barbecuing, shooting guns, fun stuff, positive stuff, and showing community values here in the South.
So there's an appetite for Irish news and Irish culture and Irish connection.
There was also that, because on St. Patrick's Day, we would focus mainly on the Celtic connection in the South, the Bible Belt. Here are so many folks are of Scots-Irish descent, like Hillbilly itself originated from William of Orange, especially with the Smoky Mountains, an awful lot of Irish and Scots-Irish heritage here. So the TV series allowed us to focus on that as well. And then we also went live transatlantic for the first time in history. From Galway and from Ireland for New Year's Eve and at Christmas. We take our morning show live from Ireland and broadcast it here in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia from Gort and Galway and from Air Square and that kind of stuff. And we did a live New Year's Eve countdown, our 7 p.m. newscast here in America, corresponded with midnight perfectly in Ireland. So we counted down live. From two sides of the world, broadcasting from two different continents.
That's really exciting stuff that you're getting a chance to do, and all led by yourself, obviously. You're pushing the agenda with that one.
I have to, because it was only me. I wouldn't have had a chance to do this if I'd stayed in England or Ireland. Even now, I often get overlooked by Irish media outlets who refuse to often give some of the stories that I push or pitch or opportunity. I've been lucky with RT World Reports. They have allowed me to contribute because there's so much news in America and there's so much news that's relevant to people back home, but it never gets the opportunity to get on air. They'll focus on things like the price of a sheep in Ballinasloe or someone getting hit by a goat in Bengal, but they won't focus on domestic terror attacks or tornadoes or gang shootings or Irish Americans fighting immigration reform.
It's that relativity thing, isn't it? I mean, a sheep is relative when you're in Ballinasloe, but well, don't ask me much outside of Ballinasloe, perhaps. Maybe that's the difficulty.
That's the problem. But the reality is that our global media audience is different. With Facebook, with Twitter, with Instagram, we're reaching, for our TV station, we air in four states, but we hit millions of people every single day and every single night who are watching around the world. They watch it on live stream. They watch it on Periscope, on Twitter. They watch it on YouTube live stream. They watch live tweets. They watch mini bite-sized clips. Our news is no longer relative to our viewing area. We're dealing with global audiences now, and I hopefully all can catch up.
So let's move to America and life here. 2 to 3 years now. You're well ingrained into what goes on, and obviously have to be as a reporter. What has life been like? How big a change from moving from Ireland?
The driving was a bit of a hassle. But I got the hang of it. Weather, as well, extreme weather. I've covered breaking news with tornadoes, which I would never have been prepared for, mentally or professionally, to do. And other than that, the people here are incredible. I can't speak highly enough of the South, of Southern people, of the values they stand for. And we've seen that in the last few days. When domestic terror comes to their door, they come together and they've bonded together. And the values that are represented here are very much the values and the principles that have built this country hundreds of years ago from the bottom up and still remain in parts of rural Ireland where I'm from.
So you see a continuity of some sort?
I do. I see families working together. I see the passion in local sports that exists in Ireland. Amateur sports as well, a passion for music. Bluegrass music is so similar to traditional Irish music with fiddles and banjos and guitars. It's very, very similar. And I also see an honesty. Irish people generally are honest, even if they don't want to admit it. But and so are other people. They say it as it is, and they don't look around it.
If we could only be honest, we want to be honest, is what you're saying there.
We're honest as a people in Ireland. We're honest to ourselves. For example, with the debt in recent years, we accepted we had an economic problem. We addressed it. We pushed on. We were the first country to emerge from the economic crisis and the bailouts. Here in the South, it's the same attitude. We have an issue. We're going to deal with this. We're not going to complain about it. We're going to move on and be honest with ourselves and honest with others. And that's a really admirable continuous team that exists in both sides, even though they're 4,200 miles apart.
Tell me about the recent days and a bit of a coup, I understand, of one of the stories that emerged after the shootings locally. Tell me the background and how all that happened.
We had a young 24-year-old, pretty normal, wrestled in high school, nice guy. We actually share the same doctor, the same medical doctor. And he, for some reason or other, felt the desire to target a Navy yard, and he shot and killed five members of the armed forces. And he shot and injured three more. And then police got him after a high-speed chase lasting 35 minutes. And he's been linked with multiple terror groups. We don't know there's an exact connection yet. The FBI have been here every single day. We've got world media here every single day. At the press conference at his mosque on Friday, and sitting beside me were BBC America, Reuters, Agence France-Presse out of Paris, Associated Press out of Atlanta, and the New York Times.
And you're covering the story from your outlet's point of view then. You're the man in the front line.
I was the first one there when the incident happened. I was the first one at the house when the helicopter flew in and the military teams went in to arrest his family members. And we got closer than anyone else did. We went through the woods behind his house and got closer than any of the news outlets in the country to where this man grew up, and we went live 30 feet from where they were raiding his home and taking his computer out. So we were determined to break the boundaries. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to give people what they need, and they're watching across the planet.
Are you not a little fearful, though, in such circumstances? Obviously, if the individual is under guard, that's one thing, but if his house is being under surveillance, are you not potentially in a firing line by mistake or otherwise?
Yeah, there were times when we walked through there, myself and the gentleman who was working camera with me, walked to him for handling. You know, and that's just what you have to do, you know. You don't know what you're doing, but you know, the people sitting at home who are scared, and we can give them the chance to give them information that they need to keep them calm or to educate and inform them, and that's what we have to do, and that's what reporters and anchors need to do.
You have to have a sense of bravery and a sense of desire to want to cover. I'd understand that. What?
Or ignorance, isn't it? Pure ignorance.
Maybe that's a better way of describing it. Yes. Your own situation in the longer term. What are your dreams, desires? What do you want to be doing, say, this time next year, 5 years, that sort of thing?
This time next year, I hope I'm in a bigger viewer market. So hopefully somewhere up north, Pennsylvania or Baltimore, somewhere like that. So I can have a million viewers and be more challenging and also be more exposed to a U.S. presidential election run. And to be there to ask people like Bernie Sanders and Marco Rubio and Hillary Clinton about my concerns. I'm an immigrant. And there are 75 million Irish-Americans here, and there's no one to represent them on television. And if I can do that in a bigger television market the next 2 to 3 years, hopefully somewhere up north, and then make that final jump from 27, 28 to somewhere like CNN, and carry on my campaign of trying to give people a voice. And that's all I want to do, is give people a voice who are on the outside looking in. I'm on the outside looking in. I'm a white, Christian, master's educated male from a Western European country. But I'm still an outsider. I'm still an outsider looking in. I'm still an immigrant. I'm still a Spanish speaker. And at the end of the day, if I can provide people and give people a chance to be heard, whether they're members of a mosque whose former friend has killed people, or whether they're illegal Guatemalans, or whether they're a young family whose home has been destroyed by tornadoes, or they're the victims of a meth bust, then I'll continue to do that wherever I am. I just want the opportunity to keep doing that time and time again.
There's time for a normal life, if you can call floating around in dragon boats, playing five-a-side soccer and stuff like that, because you have a normal life.
I do have a normal life, and I think that's really important. I work 9:30 to 6:30 Monday through Friday, and then I occasionally anchor on weekends, and I fill in anchoring at 7 p.m. for our evening newscast. But the rest of the time, I play soccer, I play pool, I do a little bit of rowing, and I am trying to disconnect. The most important thing that we learned in England when we were in grad school was that your job is your job. But outside of that, you have a life. And that's what I've tried to do. I've tried to give 140% of my job to these people, whether they're meeting you in a Walmart when you're not even working, or whether they're meeting you and they're crying because their kids have been shot. You have to be there for them. And there is that reality that you're on the clock 24/7 because you're being watched, and you have to meet people, and you've got to smile and always take photographs to be nice and polite. That doesn't mean you can't have a life. And I have a life too, and I'm grateful that I have an incredible family to keep me grounded and remind me that what I do is just a job, and that when I come home I still have to do the laundry, I still have to mash up the potatoes, and I still have to wear a Bulgarian oil change in the car.
You have friends around America, you have friends here in California that have a connection back home, you're telling me.
Yeah, Vincey Keaton, I actually went to San Francisco in 1997. My parents got married there in 1984, and I spent a wonderful time there. My mother's lived there for a long period of time. And we also are very close to the Keatons and the traditional Irish music circles that exist in San Francisco, which is a great fulcrum and home for so many Irish people. And I see so many of them who go there and they feel at home and they feel welcome. And I felt that way when I was just 7 years of age, and hopefully someday I can get the chance to work in a market like that, in a city like that, and cover the stories that matter.
James, the invitation's open. I don't own any of those stations, but the invitation is open.
Thank you very much. I need to find someone who will take a punt on me.